gentlemen. You know that sound. It's Wednesday night, and welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I am your host, Mark the Landing Crew Wheeler, and again, welcome. We're going to have a good show tonight. We're going to talk about some fish reports, some stuff about last weekend's goings-on, and then topic of the night tonight is trash fish. Earlier in the year, I guess, so that would have been fall, we had the guys from trashfish.com or Garbage Fish Invitational tournament up in New Jersey on. I'm going to recap a bunch of stuff on there, talk about some fish down, you know, where we're at in the Mid-Atlantic, how to catch them, how to eat them, how to really enjoy it, and so on and so forth. And then we're going to talk about this coming weekend and goings on there. All right. Let's get right to it. I want to start off with the reports from this past weekend. Starting down in South Carolina, Charleston's on fire recently. After those cold fronts pushed through, and before this cold front that just pushed through the other earlier this week, the redfish have been on fire. Cooper's River apparently has been hot, along with the main Charleston Harbor itself. Really good fishing there on the puppy drum, along with some other species mixed in. Talked to a charter captain down there who they were catching kings right outside Charleston Harbor, right past the bridge. He also said that he spotted a couple of sailfish literally a mile from the bridge skying. So things down there are heating up fast. Definitely get out there. Have some fun with that, folks. Let's move up to North Carolina. Things are on fire there as well. Cobia are still thick around. Just got to find them. Every buoy is pretty much holding them, along with spadefish. And the towers are holding amberjacks and spades in mass quantities. Sea bass are around too, so definitely have a sea bass rod ready for them. Up in Virginia, it is sea bass season, so go ahead and start slaying those knotheads. All right. Flounder bites also good in North Carolina right now, too. A lot of hardheads, a lot of spot and croaker being caught on the piers. Some king mackerel have been pulled recently, too, because the Spanish mackerel have moved in. Those kings aren't far behind. And with the amount of houndfish, the needlefish, the best way to, you know, the ones with the gnarly teeth look like gar, are around, those kings will be around. All the way up to Delaware, some great things I've heard. Talked to a couple guys out of Lewes. They've been casting it in some really nice two and a half, three inch finger mullet, striped mullet, recently in the little creeks and lagoons around there. So that's an excellent thing to see. That's falling into where, you know, they're catching stripers at sunset. Top water poppers, suspending bombers, the bomber long A's have been doing it for them, along with some really nice bluefish action as well. The black drum have also started doing their thing, too, in the Delaware Bay. So if you know what you're doing, get out there and get on some of those big hosses before the water warms up and they really hit their spawn mode. Down in Maryland, we start with the ocean side. Ocean City, Maryland is hot right now for flounder, for blues, for stripers at night, spot, stuff like that. They're doing really well. The offshore fleet is getting into them. There's a big eddy sitting about 55 nautical miles out from Ocean City, actually southeast of Ocean City. The Wachaprieg Virginia fleet and the Currituck fleet, I believe it is Currituck, have been making it up there at that eddy. I don't know if anyone from Virginia Beach, from Lynn Haven or anything, have made that venture up there. It's pretty long ways, but they've been tearing them up. Tuna, dolphin, white marlin have been caught as well. I talked to a captain also who said he had a blue come up and run through his spread. So that's an excellent sign. Into the bay side of Maryland, those stripers are still going off. It's just been one of those seasons, folks. for people up north. They haven't seen it like this in a long time. A lot of stripers are being caught on crab, quartered crab, half crab, pretty much chunk in the bottom, trying to see if any of those wayward cobia have come up that far north. So that's an excellent sign. But you're down to Virginia Beach. If you can get out, you can really get in some really good fish right now. The reds are in the inlets, Lynn Haven and Rudy, Mob Jack, Back, Bay, all full of them. Front of bite's been excellent. You can really do well around the Bay Bridge, you know, and the artificial reefs. Sheep's Head, Triggerfish, the usual suspects around the Bay Bridge Tunnel are showing up. It's hit and miss right now, but give it another few weeks and it'll be on fire. So that's an excellent sign. When you're flounder fishing, remember you have to get around the croaker somehow. So just remember that. Those croaker have been horrendous this year in the numbers. So take a couple home, use them as bait, do what you want to do with them. Have fun with it. Spanish mackerel are being caught too outside the ocean front. So if you're interested, grab a Clark spoon, throw a 2 ounce lead weight. Carolina rig is the best way to call it. With a like a 6 foot leader, drop that back and just paddle your way along the ocean front about 150, 200 yards off the beach, and hold on because those blues and Spanish mackerel are in there pretty tight right now. You go home with your limit pretty quick of 20 plus inch Spanish mackerel. So have fun with that. All right, with the fishing report down and done with, let's head over what happened this past weekend. Folks in the chat room, we have a couple guests. Remember, guests, you can sign in using Facebook. On the Kayak Fishing Radio page, you see that little thing, register or sign in. Just click sign in. If you have a Facebook account and it is open, go ahead and click the Facebook thing when the Blog Talk Radio sign in page pops up. And you'll be automatically signed in with your name, number, and your complete message after the beat. And we'll take care of you from there at that point. You can talk, let us know fishing reports, how you did. How much you love your Jackson kayaks, because I love my Jackson kayak. You should, too. So definitely check that out. I'd like to thank Hammerhead Greg Crisp in the house from up New England. Welcome, buddy. Another Jackson lover. Mr. Arlie, the seems like he's taking a lot of great pictures lately. Congrats on that, man. Some really good stuff there. Also, post up your blog, too, man. We'll give you some free advertisement. And Yak Chum, Mr. Matt Trucks, another Jackson Cuda head, checking in. What's going on, man? All right. Let's talk about this past weekend. I had the great joy and pleasure of meeting Dave Blanding up in Farmville, Virginia on Saturday for the Adamatic River Company's demo day. It was a great time for everyone involved. Didn't get the greatest spot, I guess, in the Goose Poop Haven, but got a lot of people in Jackson boats, met a lot of great people as well, chatted up a lot of people. Guy kind of showed off a little bit, and I did fall in a couple times because I really wanted to push the stability barrier of these boats, but it was hot and it felt good falling in, but it was a good time all around. If you were there, let me know. I've got some stickers for anyone that bought a Jackson kayak. Be more than willing to hand them out to you. Just let me know where you're at, and I'll give them to you. But great time. People really love the boats. Can't say enough about Jackson kayak. Just awesome stuff. And Dave for driving in the night before and then driving all the way home that night after spending all day out in the sun. You're a true warrior. Also, if you are looking for a paddle, y'all, if you can find them, those Lightning paddles, it's lightningpaddles.com. Oh, you want to talk about, I don't even want to use my paddle anymore. I actually use a whitewater paddle, which is short. I'm talking like 180 centimeter, 200 centimeters. And I fell in love with it. Big, wide blade. Oh, man, it was just too cool for school, man. I'm hoping to get some in and talk more about them, but definitely check them out. But yeah, I had a great time. Did a casting that demo on the kayak, and just a good job all around. We had Wildy there. Everyone else was there, and it was a lot of fun. Saturday we kind of got blown out, or Sunday, and that's about it for my weekend. If anyone else has any posts or comments, concerns, either call in. Number is 714-816-4727. Again, that's 714-816-4727. All right. I do know that Mr. Jack Chum, a.k.a. Matt Trucks, got into a big bluefish blitz out of Jersey, I believe. He's got check him out on Facebook, Matt Trucks, T-R-U-X. Is his last name. Fend him. He's got a great video there of big bluefish blitz he got into. So nice job, man. So excellent stuff there. You can hear my wife in the background. But yeah, good weekend all around. This coming weekend looks like it's going to be blowing a little bit. It does look clear, though. Temps will go up after this cold front pushes through. And it looks like your best bet, because of the wind blowing, it will be blowing out of the north, northeast, northwest. It doesn't decide what it wants to do, but it's going to be blowing mainly out of the northeast, or the north, excuse me. Rudy, Lynn Haven, stuff like that are going to be good for here in Virginia Beach. If you can make it to the eastern shore, fish the Chesapeake side. I know they've been getting some really good flounder action, so definitely look at that. As well as around the Monitor Merrimack and James River Bridges, I've been hearing of a really good striper bite over there, chunking with Manhaden. So if you're looking to get some stripers, that's a good time to do it. is over there. So, all right, let's get to the topic of the night, and that's trash fish. So what is a trash fish, garbage fish? We're talking skates, blow toads, oyster fish, oyster crackers, whatever you want to call them, the nasty, ugly things, sea robins, stingrays, you name it. We're going to talk about it. We'll start off with skates. They do get a bad rap. Okay, the clear nose skates, anyone who's fished long enough, you know, knows they hate them. I personally hate them as well, but that, dogfish, yeah, we're talking about them too. Sea robins, oh yeah, I love them damn things. Oops, I got a caller. Hang on 1 second, folks. Area code 210, you are on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to listen in tonight.
What's that?
I'm just trying to listen in tonight.
All right, man.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Yep, listen in. All right, got a listener, cool. All right, so, creating those skates. They're not stingrays, per se, they're skates. They don't have a stinger, they got a row of barbels down their back. You can eat them. It's going to take a lot of work, a lot of, you know, peeling for a little bit of meat. But you know what they do have? That white belly. Okay, anyone who's done any flounder fishing knows that a clear or a white strip of fish, a.k.a. belly meat from bluefish, trout, flounder themselves, after you clean them, stuff like that, works great. Guess what, folks? That belly on a skate is tough stuff, and it won't rip off easily. And I learned this from a gentleman just last weekend, actually, who was telling me about it. You're not wasting the fish, per se. Go ahead and remove any meat from the wings that you can, and put them in stir fry, put them in fish cakes, stuff like that. Excellent, from what he was telling me. Did try it not too long ago, and skate is definitely good. But he says those strips are great for bait. I've used them as bait as well when the going gets tough. Just really good stuff there. Now, let's move on to the bigger brothers, the stingrays. And we're going to talk about two different species, the cow nose ray and the Atlantic ray, bat ray, whatever you want to call it. And we'll start with the old school stingray, the one we all know and love. I love them for reasons that when I was growing up as a kid, sitting off a Democrat Point out of Long Island, sitting there in the camper with my dad and grandfather, with big heavers on the beach, catching massive rays. Is my earliest memory. Sitting on a sandy beach is the best way to put it. And catching these rays and you know, removing the wings and any meat we could find off of them and enjoying them. And you can eat them. Please do. They're just a regular ray, bat ray, Atlantic stingray, stuff like that, are excellent. You know, white meat, preferred like a scallop is what a lot of people say. And they're really simple to clean, you know, easier than most people think, especially if you got a good thick one, where it's going to be worth your while. And how you clean them is you get a really sharp knife, a pair of pliers, surprisingly, and that's about it. All you're going to do is run that knife along their back. You're going to find that there's two main bones running down their center, okay, in between where their internal organs are. Run the knife down through there, remove each wing, okay, and then use that knife a little bit. Start peeling away the skin a little bit. A lot of times, if you got a ray that's really fat in the middle and it comes really thin by the edges, go ahead and go where that fatty section is, where there's more meat, and just cut around there so you have just big loins, basically. And just work away that skin a little bit, grab it with a pair of pliers, and rip right off. Simple as that. Just the same way you would do a mahi-mahi or triggerfish or any of those species where they have that tough skin, or a shark even. Surprisingly, it comes off, you know, with a little bit of oomph, and then you just remove the meat. There's usually a cartilagic center on there because they are related to sharks. And now you got two big chunks of meat. My favorite way of doing it, remembering as a kid, was butter in a pan. Throw, you know, big strips in there. Let them cook up with some garlic and you know, salt and pepper, a little bit of lemon on top. I mean, just an excellent way of doing it. And it'd be really good for you. Throw that with some pasta. Now you get yourself a meal. You know, that's one way of doing it. There are hundreds of other ways. So, you know, go ahead and eat them, folks. It's definitely worth your while. All right. Let's jump over to the other one, the dreaded cow nose ray. This is a little bit tougher, folks. Cow nose rays surprisingly have a red meat, similar to, I guess the best way to put it would be tunas, stuff like that. And it becomes very difficult to cook. It's one of those things, just like squid. Either you cook it for a second or you cook it for an hour. And, you know, I wish my buddy would be on here. What's his face? Fish and Chef. Robbie. He's currently a chef at the, or head chef at Virginia Beach Aquarium. Great place to go with family for the boondoggle. Just saying. I'm just saying. But he's telling me some recipes for that. Same preparation style, folks, as I said before, how to remove the skin and get the meat out. But it's a heartier meat, so treat it like veal. He says he's doing it just like a veal parmesan, breaded and fried it real quick after it's been pounded out a little bit. Excellent. Cut it into little strips and breading it and frying it. And put it in tortillas for cow nose ray tacos, stuff like that. There are a bunch of recipes online, so please, if you catch one, harvest it, treat it with care, remove the wings immediately, so this way they are, like I said, a member of the shark family. They do get ammonia build up in there, so, you know, harvest it quickly, humanely, and treat it with care, and you will be pleasantly surprised. I've had it a couple times, and it is surprisingly good. When it is not taken care of, The ammonia does get in there, and it does turn a little gamey. But remember, folks, treat everything with care. You'll have no issues. So we talked about rays, skates. To my personal favorite now, blowfish. And I'm only talking about the northern blowfish. Species are the only ones I've ever had. The southern ones, like down in like Miami and the Gulf, you can't eat. But the northern ones, please eat them. They are delicious. Growing up as a kid, chicken of the sea, squab of the sea is what we call them. Pretty easy to catch a bucketful. We're talking, you know, a long shank. Remember the hooks when we were kids, the bait holders, the ones with a really long shank, but a really small little bend in the hook. And that's what you're looking for. Tip them with a little piece of shrimp or squid around the jetties, docks. We used to catch them all the time around docks when I was a kid. And get a bucket full of them. Pretty easy to clean, too. Go ahead. You know, you're going to want them at least 6 inches in length. That's where you're going to get the best bang for your dollar. Oh, here we go. Mr. Redfish Chuck is in the house. What's going on, man? He's in the chat room. But the blowfish, okay? And go to clean them. Right behind the head, you're going to feel up the head, and you're going to find where the skull kind of stops, and you can hit meat. That's where you didn't want to initially cut. Cut halfway down just so you break the spine, okay? Then all you're going to do is grab the meat from where you just cut them at and pull down. You're going to pull the organs out along with skin the fish at the same time. It is that easy. They do have a loose skin on their body, and it comes right off, okay? Light cleaning afterwards. You make sure you got all the goodies out. Don't trim the tail. Okay, you're going to want that. That's going to be your drumstick handle. And it is just like eating a drumstick or a chicken wing. Two large loins on either side of the middle bone, no bones in between. Great for kids. I grew up eating them, like I said. Just really good stuff there. And actually, I'm planning on fishing for them this weekend because of the wind blowing. It'll be easy to catch them. Oyster bars hold them too. So we feel those little taps a lot of times. That's actually blowfish nibbing at your bait. But pufferfish here will kill you. That's Redfish Chuck down in Florida, Mosquito Lagoon area, Titusville, Florida. You have the puffers there. Well, that's the southern puffers. You find some northern ones, buddy, get on them. But easiest way to cook them up, treat them like a chicken, like you would drumsticks. The old school Italian dressing on the grill. You know, 2 or 3 minutes on one side, flip them over 2 or 3 minutes, serve them up, and you're done. You know, the smiles will be ear to ear with the, you know, wonderful puffer chicken of the sea, grease all over their face. It'll be good for them. Yeah, eating them is just too good, man. I love them. They do eat crustaceans, so they do have a, you know, good... like shrimp flavor, I guess, best way to put it. Fishy, not really fishy, but just really good. Kids love them, so that tells you something. So definitely enjoy the squab of the sea. let's see here. We'll talk about dogfish. Spiny and smooth dogfish are sharks. They are a nuisance, especially up north and here in the wintertime. I know guys that just release them. And that's a shame. That is a true shame. You're talking about one of the best tasting sharks out there, or fish in general. Anyone who's ever enjoyed the illustrious fish and chips in Britain, 90% of the time, guess what you're eating? You're eating dogfish. So it is a shark, okay? So you have to treat them as such. And the way I've done it on boats is we have, if we're going to keep them things, the best way I found to do it is have a separate cooler set up with ice. And if you can do it, get some saltwater ice. And the best way to do this, okay, is you plan out ahead of time. We're talking 2 weeks ahead of time. And if you have a big enough freezer, like a a horizontal freezer kind of style, and you have enough room, get bottles or 5-gallon buckets and fill them with clean salt water. If you can run out, a half mile from shore in a boat and collect it, even better, it's going to be even cleaner. Okay, bring that back in and throw it in the freezer. It's going to take at least a week for a 5-gallon bucket to freeze fully over. It'll be all slushy and crazy after 3 or 4 days. You go, why was it freezing? It's salt water. It takes some time. A body freezer, yes. So go ahead. After it's frozen, you're ready to fish for that day, pull it out, thaw it out so you can get the ice out of the bucket, and break it up into a bunch of pieces. Cool that cooler and put it to the side. After you're out in the water for a little while, go ahead and dump some fresh salt water inside there. Okay, start that salt water slurry going. After you catch a dogfish, get it in the boat, quickly remove the head. Okay, this is where a good knife comes in handy. Be careful with the spiny ones. If you have a big spine that does get you, you will be hurting. Okay, it's like a razor. So I'll be very careful with that. Remove the head, gut them immediately, and right in the ice. It's the quickest way to do it. It's the humanest way to do it. And chill them down. So after he's fully put in the ice, when you get back in, treat him just like you would any shark. Remove the loins, straight down the middle of the back, straight through. You can get 2 big loins out of them, okay? Skin them however you feel you want to. First thing, I just take a knife right near the body and just, I leave about maybe a quarter inch of meat left because that's, I hate trying to remove the skin that way, the traditional way. But straight through, cut them up into chunks, like you normally would, freeze them up. And now you got a great meal if you ever want to do shark on the or dogfish on the grill. Excellent. A little butter and lemon pepper. Oh, so good. Along with fish and chips. Fried up with a beer batter. Is always good. You can never go wrong there. And Chuck likes hot dogs with chili and cheese. Yes, the old fashioned chili coney dog. Comes into mind in beer, yes. A big, cold, sweet water, blue, always goes good. Dogfish under glass, yep. All right, so we talked about dogfish, and save the belly meat on dogfish too, that skin. You're looking at an excellent flounder bait, striper strip bait. You fish offshore, there you go. You just have an excellent strip bait. To run behind an island, put an under or chugger, chugging head. You can't go wrong with that. I use them for stripers behind mojos and parachute rigs. Work great. They stay on forever to the point where you have to cut them off after you're done fishing for the day. Bluefish can't even tear through them sometimes. So it tells you how versatile that belly meat is. So please, they are prolific in the Northeast and the Mid-Atlantic, especially in the wintertime. Do the population a favor. Let's call some out. You'll be pleasantly surprised by how delicious they truly are. And I know Virginia doesn't have a limit on them, size or cape or keeps or to keep. So please go ahead and enjoy them to your heart's content. Give them to your friends or family. As gifts. You cannot sell them, but gift them so they can enjoy the bounty of the sea. Next up, sea robins. We don't really see a lot of sea robins around Virginia all that much, but they are around. I see a lot of them more towards the Northeast. Will they be around for the boondoggle? We're talking about dogfish, Chuck. But sea robins, another chicken of the sea, I've actually gone ahead and when I was back in Long Island, did harvest several sea robins as a child. And most likely, Chuck, sorry, folks, the dogfish shouldn't show up by then. The water will still be in the 70s. They like anything below 60. Sea robins, yes. The everyone says that. Sea robins are gross. They're actually really good. Caught most of the time flounder fishing. And really simple to clean. Treat them the same way as you would a puffer or actually, not I shouldn't say puffer, but a any other fish. Cut down the loin, remove the skin. You have a nice white fleshy meat. They do eat a lot of crustaceans, so they do have that mollusk, oyster clam flavor to them almost. They have fingernails. they're really good eating, especially if you get a really big one. I found that, broiled with Old Bay is the best way to do it. Really good, nice firm meat, too, so you can grill it as well. Eels. If you catch a big old eel, American eel, by the way, which are all the black ones, you've just got a delicacy right there. Remove the head, gut them, smoke them, grill them. So good. Oh, man. Sorry, folks. I'm reading off the chat room. You can't go wrong with them. Really good stuff there. Sea robin, eel, stuff like that. Now for the crazy one, the one that I'm still reluctant to do, but I have friends that do eat them. I'm glad I'm in Florida. is the oyster toad. That gnarly, nasty, slimy, ugly son of a gun that you catch a lot of times around the Baber's Tunnel, around docks, while you're flounder fishing sometimes, is that big oyster toad. And I'm going to tell it like it is. I have a buddy of mine who swears by them. Because they do eat small fish, they do eat clams, mussels, barnacles, so they do have a shellfish flavor to them. And, I can't bring myself to do it because they are that ugly. But if I say I will. He actually does them in a pasta dish, cuts them up into small chunks, garlic, butter, or olive oil, Parmesan cheese, on top with linguine. He swears by it. White wine, swears by it. So definitely, remove some of the population. Be creative. They do have a loose skin, so they're easy to clean. So definitely, try that. You don't know until you know. People down south eat mullet. I'm not talking about sea mullet. I'm talking about mullet. The big flathead, big eyes, always jumping around, making you think they're jumping game fish. So definitely look into that. Personally, I'm not going to eat mullet, but anyway. All right. So with that, we've gotten in that section. I haven't done it yet. I'm surprised I haven't been yelled at by someone.
Give me the flats of dawn with plenty of tailing fish
and the perfect fly rod.
Yeah.
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat!
But I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him! You got it! I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Yes, folks, support the Bonefish, Tarpon, Permit, Snook, Stepmother Trust. Seems like they have... I'm trying to yell at you, but it's hard in the chat room. Oh, you gotta go with all uppercase there, Chuck, to really get your point across. support them. They is a great cause, and you know, that's what we need. Speaking about causes, for you that don't know, you know, we got a new caller. Caller, you were on the air. Hello? Caller? All right. We lost the caller. But there's a new, best way to put it. There is a new bill in the Senate. It's called the Sportsman Bill, Sportsman's Alliance Bill, I believe it is. Sorry about that. But if you don't know about it, it's a great thing going on right now in the Senate. They should have voted on today or tomorrow. Basically what it entails is basically what we've been all been looking for. More access to the, you know, to water and land for hunting and fishing, as well as the multiple lead bans that have been trying to be put through the EPA and such, will be no more. So that would be a huge success for us. Help with the bring down the price of lead a little bit, hopefully. Lots of money being put into from the EPA and others to open up access to more of our waterways and hunting lands, creating more opportunities for hunting and outdoors. More public game lands is a major thing too. So it's a major win-win for all of us in the hunting and fishing community. I believe Take a Kid Fishing has a thing on there to send to your local senator to sponsor and support this bill, along with Saltwater Sportsman has a link up there too. Several others do, so please support this. It's a huge win for everyone, and it really helped with the building of the outdoors for our future. So definitely check that out. Also, for those that do not know, the Marine Fisheries Council will be meeting, I believe, in July to finalize the last of the Manhaden bills that came through through the meetings we had earlier in this year that we did win with the reduction policies and such. That is a major win for all of us in the Mid-Atlantic, especially here in Virginia, with the Manhaden fleets decimating the Manhaden population with newer science. I guess best science we can't really trust as sportsmen. But really listening to those that are on the water all the time, captains, recreational fishermen, and those that are biologists as well. So it's a major thing we should all be happy about. I have looked at the numbers, and the numbers show that we're talking about a significant reduction in the Manhaden harvest. Like I said, it's a huge win for all of us in the fishing community. You know, because if we don't have the Manhaden, we don't have the bait. You know, species like bluefish, striper, flounder, every predatory species, including the birds, the gannets, the spoonbills, seagulls, terns, whatever, all eat bunker or pieces of bunker from the game fish that tore through them. You know, you hear about pelicans and, you know, terns and whatever else having issues where they're dying off and not showing up or moving inland to where they've never been before because there is no fish for them to eat, you know, out in the water and prolific amounts they need. So that's a huge step forward in bringing back the game fish in a lot of places. Also, for those that drive down to North Carolina, good news. The I think this came out yesterday. The North Carolina legislator, House of Representatives, whatever you want to call it, are working on a bill to open up more beach access to Hatteras and the Outer Banks because of these piping plovers. And remember, they do taste like chicken. If PETA's listening right now, they're going to lose their mind. But basically, the horrendous amount of trying to save these birds and how it's affecting those communities from the public beach access that so many businesses rely on down there, and how they're just losing that major tourist economic need that they have that's going away is truly amazing that they could do that. But basically, they're going to go in and hopefully open up beach access to where it is needed, and hopefully this it'll be good for everyone involved. I know I love driving on the beach. The Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council, yes, King Rat. we've got some great things coming down the pike, along with some great fishing this year. Fish that we haven't seen in a long time. Big bluefish in the bay. Lynn Haven Pier and Ocean View Pier have been catching them, which is, amazing. Apparently it's been 20 years since the big blues have really showed up in numbers in the bay. So it's an excellent sign. Because when the big blues come in, the stripers stay with them, along with, the big specks. The weak fish. Oh, my God, I didn't talk about weak fish yet. The weak fish are coming back. The weak fish are coming. Great trout for many of you. But there is a good, I just saw it earlier, biologist data, catch data on immature weak fish. Just truly great numbers. Excellent stuff. So, if you catch a weak fish, let's release them. Let's build that stock. Because once we have those great trout and weak fish in numbers again, it'll be truly a great thing. Welcome to Mr. Steve Chapman of Fishing Florida Radio. With Captain Mike Ortego and that guy Boudreau, who just kind of sits there and is quiet halfway through the show and then just loses his mind. Welcome, buddy. You got a caller.
With Captain Mike Ortego,
544.
Just kind of sits there and be quiet.
Turn down your radio.
Hold on.
Mark, what's going on?
What's going on? Who's this?
This is Rick, Virginia Beach.
Hey, what's going on, Rick?
What's going on, man? You need to refresh my memory on the oyster toad cooking thing. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, I've been fishing with the guy who's been eating them. And
really?
He swears by them, yeah.
So how old is he?
He's in his 30s.
He's still living, huh?
Yeah.
So those are really good eating. I threw away some 5-6 pounders of them.
Yeah, there's some monsters around the Bay Bridge Tunnel.
I know, that's where I've caught some at, and anybody that I've ever seen catch one does not keep them.
Yeah.
So they are they taste like chicken, I guess, huh?
Yeah, they taste pretty good, apparently. I just got to get around that gnarly face that they've got.
Have you actually tried one yourself?
I have not yet, but hopefully by the end of the season, I'll cut them up and I'll get a big enough one. I'll cut them up and I'll put it on YouTube for everyone to see.
I want to be there when you catch one and we'll throw on a barbecue and we'll check it out.
All right, man.
So hey, how's things going, man?
Good, man. Have you you gonna be fishing that Cobia tournament this Saturday?
No, I'm gonna restart my schools. You know that deal.
Oh yeah, I know, man. I know.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to get out. I'm gonna practice the yak out and do a little bit of last minute spring season for striper. That's last day is Saturday, so I'm gonna try to do that.
Right.
And see what happens there.
All right, man. Well, I'll give you a call later tonight.
Pull you up today and figured I'd pull you up today and listen to you and see if you were still out here. I haven't heard from you in a while, and see how things have been going.
Yeah, I'll definitely get a hold of you later, man. We'll have to get out soon.
Yeah, because I want to check out that oyster toad thing.
Definitely.
We definitely got to try it out. I didn't hear no very many feedbacks on that, so let me know what happens with that.
All right, I will, man.
All right, I'm going to keep listening and let somebody else call in and give me a holler.
I will, man.
Okay.
All right. Later, buddy.
All right, bye.
Bye. All right, that was my buddy Rick from out here in Virginia Beach. Definitely a good guy there. Mr. Steve Chapman, post up what's going on this Saturday. I heard that you posted up here that you're in a new studio. So definitely check that out. FishingFloridaRadio.com. Let's see here. It's 7:40 the game. You can listen to it every morning or every Saturday morning from 6 till 9 or 5 till 9. Great show. I can't say enough about them. I listen to them all the time when I'm sitting at home wishing I was fishing on Saturday mornings. Some great stuff there. So definitely check out Fishing Florida Radio, only on 7:40 the game. Mr. Kingrat was appointed to the Bluefish Advisory Panel of the Mid-Atlantic Fisheries Management Council. Their first meeting is in later this month, actually, on the 27th in Baltimore. Congratulations there, bud. Then we hit everything that I wanted to. Talked about some management stuff, some eating stuff, and catching stuff. So, will be a good thing going on there. Alrighty, with that, I'm gonna say good night. First things first, the boondoggle. Let me pull that up. Hang on 1 second. I gotta stay ahead of my game here with my sound bites. Here we go.
Boondoggle. Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
There you go, folks. The boondoggle. Thank you to Mr. Steve Chapman for doing that awesome soundbite for us. But boondoggle is coming up October 5th through the 8th, 1 week after the TKA tourney. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Stay of the week. We have some great stuff here in Virginia that time of year. It's going on. Busch Gardens will still be open. Take the family, have some fun on some roller coasters. The dolphin and whale should be starting to move back down south from up in the northern regions. So if you want to take a trip out there, they're pretty inexpensive to do some sightseeing, brownie points for the wife. It's a historic triangle, Jamestown, Yorktown, Williamsburg. You want to talk about some true American history? That's where it's at. Really amazing stuff. Oceana, sit there and watch jets fly over your head all day long if you wanted to, along with the fishing is excellent. So definitely think about doing that. Fish the tourney, spend the week, enjoy it. You can't go wrong there. We have some great food. Great times, and a lot of fish being caught. So definitely check it out. Go to yakangler.com/boondoggle
or kayakfishingradio.com with that little / thingamajigger again and boondoggle. Let us know what you think. First Landing State Park still has some tents. I think there's one cabin still available, so jump on that. If you don't want to stay in a campground, that's fine. The numerous hotels on the oceanfront do have space available, so definitely look into that. Or the KOA campground, which is about 15 minutes from First Landing State Park, where the main headquarters is going to be. Good time all around there. Really nice accommodations as well. All right. Jackson Kayaks. You've heard me say it once. You hear me say it 1,000 times. You can paddle the rest or pedal the rest, but you really, truly haven't lived until you paddle the best, and that's the Jackson Kayak. I can't say enough about them. The Cuda, the ultimate fishing platform in my eyes. The Coosa, you want to talk about a river running boat, that's it right there. And the Big Tuna, that is one hoss of a boat there. Great boat for taking the family out fishing, for taking yourself out fishing, with the live bait well system and the roominess of it, truly make it, you know, hands down better than every other kayak out there. So check out JacksonKayak.com. Email me at LennyCrewFishing or LennyCrew@Yahoo.com. If you want to demo them out, feel free to do so. All right, Akuma, the tackle is, you could pay $100, you know, fishing shouldn't be expensive, akumafishing.com. Yeti coolers, wildy stronger, keeps ice longer, frog togs, because when it gets nasty, be like a frog, wear your frog togs. Mustad, hook a million challenge. You have an opportunity of winning $1 million by catching a world record fish from one of their many species that they have up. So register at mustad.com. You might win some money. See here. Go to Chuck's Kayak Adventures. If you're down in Mosquito Lagoon area, if you're sitting there beating your head against the wall, spending too much time with Mickey Mouse, he's only about 2 hours away, 3 hours away. Drive down early in the morning, fish the historic and illustrious Mosquito Lagoon. Here's talking about all the time. And spent some time with Chuck. Great guy there. Jackson Post staffer. Can't go wrong. So check out chuckskayakadventures.com. Check out my website, LandyCrewKayakFishing.com. I currently am doing some maintenance on it, so I do apologize. So definitely check that out. Running rates pretty decent as well. And we'll get you on some fish. Can guarantee you that. I think that'll be about it. With that, let's say thank you to everyone who showed up. Rick for calling in. And that should be it. One last thing. If you're fishing at night, have a light. Okay? Sick and tired of people not having lights in the middle of the night. Stupid. Put a light on your kayak. All right, with that, I'll say good night to everybody. Take a kid fishing. Always wear your PFD. Have a light at night. And have fun this weekend. Talk to you next week on Wednesday nights. Every night of the week has a show. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at 11. The Friday show's at 11. Everything else is at 8 Eastern. Listen in, learn some stuff, call in, have some fun. With that, I say good night, everybody. And catch you on the water.